Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30 on Wednesday nights. It's been a few weeks. We've had a lot of things taking place here on Wednesday nights over the last month. But it's been a few weeks since we were in our study in 2 Chronicles, which is the life of Hezekiah. That's what we've been looking at, the life of King Hezekiah. And what a tremendous blessing his life is as we look to how God used him in the Old Testament Judah. We know that God records for us, even today, how Hezekiah was able to purge Judah and restore God's help and blessings to the nation. And wow, we can learn from that today. There's no doubt about that. And so that's where we're at tonight. We're chapter 30. We're going to be let's read verse 1, drop down verse 5 and 6, and then verse 10 through 12, because we studied a little bit of this last time. But if you would, go ahead and stand with me. Because as Hezekiah is purging Judah, he then reestablishes some things that need to be reestablished if we're going to have God's blessings upon our lives, our nation, our country, whatever it might be. And so we find this is what's going on with Hezekiah, and he is going to reinstate some of the Old Testament ordinances, which this would be the Passover. And so let's read this. First of all, verse 1, it says this: "And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel." Drop down to verse 5. "So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. So the posts went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandment of the king, saying, Ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you that are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria." Drop down to verse 10. "So the post passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem." Now verse 12. "Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princess by the word of the Lord." And so let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in church and all that are here. Thank you for your presence in this place and what a blessing it is to know that we are in a place of refuge when we come through the doors of this church. We sense your presence and we are ministered to through the services. Now, Father, as we have read this passage of Scripture and we're studying this, that you would have us to study in the life of Hezekiah, help us all just to put everything else out of our minds and focus on this message and how you would apply it and help us to apply it to our lives. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So before Hezekiah, both kingdoms of Israel were headed for captivity. I mean, the prophets had been prophesying to both. Isaiah, Jeremiah, many of the the elite prophets of the day, had been preaching and prophesying to Israel that they had went too far. And they were going to go into captivity if they did not turn back to God. So they were on the brink of captivity, both kingdoms, the northern kingdom of Israel, which is known as Israel, which is 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, and then the other tribes of the southern, which is known as Judah. They had fallen from superpower status in the world to on the brink of slavery, captivity. I'm telling you, when you read this, we can identify with so much even today with America. When they were looking to God and doing what God had for them to accomplish and establishing the church, the outreach, worldwide missions, and we look at everything that God has done through the United States of America over the last 250 years. It's just amazing what we can see happening and how that they became a superpower by fulfilling Christian principles, by following the teachings of Christ, by establishing a nation under God. Superpower. Under David, King David, and Solomon, the entire world wanted what Solomon had. I mean, the entire world looked and how can you have such a superpower nation? How can you have such blessings and such support of your people? How can there be such unity within the nation of Israel? And they would seek to come to Solomon to find what was his secret, what was his driving force, what allowed them to have what they had. That's history. That's just plain out and out history. But then after Solomon passed and his sons come, then there was rebellion within the nation of Israel. It was a divided kingdom. After the divided kingdom, they stopped doing what God had had them here to do. They turned away from the ordinances. They turned away from serving God, representing God to the world. That's just history. And now they're on the brink of slavery. That's what being taken into captivity would mean. They would be taken into Syrian captivity and become slaves to another super power that God allowed to become a superpower in the world to discipline his children Israel. We know that. The Bible tells us that. That's what happened. So the northern kingdom at this time right here, now we find Hezekiah is king of Judah. The northern kingdom is already paying tribute to Assyria and is about 2 years away from total captivity. The writing's on the wall. There's no way they can stand up against the mighty power, superpower of Assyria. And that's why they're paying tribute to them. They've yielded that they could not defeat Assyria, so they said, we want to stay in our homeland. How much do we have to pay? What kind of tribute do we have to pay you to be able to keep you from taking us into captivity? So that's what's going on. Now, again, eventually we know that Assyria would take Israel into captivity. But Hezekiah comes on the scene. We have it recorded. God records to us what Hezekiah was able to do to keep Judah from going into Assyrian captivity. And that's what we want to learn. That God's recorded for us to be able to learn from some of these things. And praise the Lord, that's what we've been looking at here. Judah, under the reign of Hezekiah, begins to turn back to God because he was going to do things according to God. Amen. Hezekiah, praise God, that he was a godly man. He wanted to follow the leadership of David and Solomon when Israel was great and they had the power and the blessings of God. Hezekiah seen it, and he said, that's what we ought to desire. That's what we need to get back to. Why did we ever leave that? What led us to get to where we're at today? Why did we leave the very things that allowed us to be the superpower of the world, to have the blessings of God? That's what we have. He opened the door to the temple. Remember, we studied this. They hadn't been going to church. They hadn't been going to the temple that Solomon built for Israel to worship God. First thing he did, he opened the doors to the temple. He established godly leadership concerning the priests and the Levites. Not just anybody in leadership, not just anybody, because they had abused that under Eli's children. All the different things that was taking place under some of the abuses of God's people from God's priests. How sad that is, but yet, can we identify with that even today? They're doing it for filthy lucre instead of praise of God. He provided the sacrifices for the altar. They hadn't been going to the altar because they hadn't been going to the temple. And if you're not going to the church, you're not going to be given to the work of the storehouse. You're not going to be supporting the work of God. And they were not doing that. And so he said, we got to get back to what God established as a sacrifice, the blood offerings. We can never lose sight of the blood of Christ. And that's what they was representing in the Old Testament. They knew it was God's will that there would be these sacrifices to God to be able to have the power of God as long as they did it the right way, the way that God established. So this is how he's leading Judah. They provided the sacrifices for the altar. He presented qualified musicians and instruments of music and singers and established what messages they were going to present in the temple and established when they would sing and how they would sing and everything about it, because the temple needed to be a place of worship. Get rid of that old worldly music. Get rid of all those worldly singers, and let's get worship back into the church. Wow. The last message that we looked, and this is just a remembering, an overview of what we've studied to a certain extent. Hezekiah makes a proclamation, the Bible says, to reinstate the observance of memorials and ordinances. Beginning with the most important of all, the Passover. Remember where we came from. Remember where we was at in Egypt. Slavery. And God delivered us out of the hands of the Egyptians by the blood over the doorposts and then the miraculous parting of the Red Sea. Let's not ever forget our heritage. Let's never forget what God wants us to remember. Memorials and ordinances that God has established is vital to our faith in God. That we remember and not forget who God is. We're living in a society now that has forgotten who God is. Forgotten where we came from. The victories that God has given to us as a United States of America, as a nation, and as a people. Which brings us to our text here that we just read. Verse 1, sent all to Israel and to Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh that they should come to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Hezekiah says, we're doing this, but I'm going to send it to all of God's people. I'm going to send it to the 12 tribes of Israel. Whether they're the northern kingdom or the southern kingdom right now, were under the same situation with Assyria. And this is what we need to do to be able to have the blessings and the power of God upon our nation once again. But not everyone would see things the same at this time. Our text tonight, what I led up to, is verse 10, 11, and 12. This is the response of the people to the posts that Hezekiah sent as to what he was going to lead them to do. So the posts passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even to Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. How could they not see what Hezekiah clearly seen? We got to get back to acknowledging God. And not the way we want to acknowledge God. We got to get back to acknowledging God the way that God has commanded us to acknowledge Him. Amen. Not everyone would see the same, which you've heard me say this before, but it applies in this as well. There's never an excuse for wrong thinking. You've heard me say there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, because there's never an excuse, but there's always reasons why people behave wrongly. We know that. I mean, that people are going to behave wrongly, but there's never an excuse for wrong behavior, no matter what led them to behave or to see things the way that they see things. There's never an excuse for wrong thinking, because God has promised His word would always be available to us, and following His word is the thinking that we need to have. As Brother Andy preached Sunday night, and as I preached Sunday morning, and it referred to even the week ago on Sunday, we need to have right thinking. Thinking is very, 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 very important in every area of our lives. But you got to know what's right to think. But even if you don't know what's right to think, it's never an excuse to have wrong thinking, because it's available to have right thinking. God has provided His word for us. He has provided the witness, a testimony of Old Testament Israel, representing God to the world. But there's always reasons why. Sometimes you have to understand why this person thinks the way they think to be able to get them the help they need to change their thinking. Romans chapter 14. Let me read it to you. You know the verses. It's very familiar, but it's very powerful verses here. Romans in chapter 14 and verses 11 down to verse 13 says this: "It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God." How you lived your life based on your thinking. Because you will act according to what you keep on your mind. You've heard me say often here, because it's important, it all stems from spirit, controlled mind, controlled body. Stop letting the body control your mind and your spirit. Stop letting your mind control your spirit. No, it is spirit first. That's God bearing witness with your spirit, revealing to you what's right to think. God, spirit, controlled mind. If my mind, my thinking is not in conjunction and in agreement with God, I'm wrong, He's right, change my thinking. And when I change my thinking to thinking the way God wants me to think, it will change the way I live my life. Wow. Why didn't everybody see that? So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. We got to use judgment in how we deal with people, but we have to leave judgment up to God. We are not the Holy Spirit. It's not our part and it's not our place to judge other people. That's not it. It's our place to give them the truth. Help them to have right thinking by presenting the truth. Give them an opportunity to know what's right to think. Hopefully, if we can get that across to them, this is how we need to think, that they will make the decision to think that way. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this, rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We must allow God to determine the level of accountability. It blows your mind. You can't figure it all out. If a person never had an opportunity to think right in the how they die with ever having an opportunity to think right, then how are they going to give an account for something they never knew about? Listen, that's not for me to determine their level of accountability. That is for God. And I know that I serve a just God who will hold them accountable only for that which they're accountable for. But there's never an excuse for wrong thinking. But there's a lot of reasons why people have wrong thinking. They give in to wrong thinking. Don't let it be because of a parent taught them the wrong way to think. Even in the churches today, we have parents teaching their children a wrong way to think. When you turn away from what God says and decide to think that your way of raising your children are better than God's way of raising your children, then you're helping them to have wrong thinking, based upon someone that they look to as a biblical authority in their life to help them to know how to think. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty powerful. Your child, when you see your child, when you think of your child, realize, parent, one thing will help you tremendously. View your child stand before an almighty God, knowing that there's no excuse for wrong thinking. And your child give an account to God. It won't be your fault. You might be a reason why they had that thinking. But they can't use you as an excuse because there's no excuse for wrong thinking. That puts pressure on a parent. Praise the Lord. You ought to have pressure on you as a parent. The most important work that you'll ever accomplish for God is how do you raise your children, establishing a Christian home that represents Christ to the world, and raising a godly seed that wants to love God and serve God and live according to God's will and not the ways of the world. You give them that avenue, you give them that open door and say, it's all right if you choose to go that way, they're going to go that way. That's a reason they go that way, is you just gave them the permission as their parent to go that way, and they don't need you as a parent to give them permission to sin. They need you as a parent to give them the truth, and the truth is based upon God's word. That's what was happening in Israel and Judah. It was the next generation after Solomon that turned away from doing things God's way. And they laughed. So you have these, the scorners. They were of the northern 10 tribes of Israel. They were so far disconnected from God that even the fear of Assyrian captivity would not get them to turn back to the ways that God told them to live. See, today we need to return to biblical morality. Can I tell you that the world laughs at purity until marriage? The world laughs at abstinence. Parents somewhere gave their children an open door to safe sex, which there is no such thing. Because the school system said, that's how we want to raise our children. And if you don't do it, then we'll take over the responsibility and we will teach your children what we want to teach them, and we will hand out whatever contraceptives that we need to hand out because we want the generation to follow to have a green light to live morality based upon whatever they think is moral. Is that not what happened? And parents allowed it. Maybe because we was too busy doing our own things, or maybe it's because we thought, well, maybe they're right and we're wrong. Maybe it's too much to ask. Abstinence before marriage, maybe that's too much to ask. No, 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 no. It's Bible. It's what God has established for us. It's what God has established for humanity. And the most important things about it, what's going on inside of a child or a teenager's mind and maturity level is not what the world okays, but what they need to know what God says is right thinking. You understand why the teenage suicide rate is so high today? Most everyone is connected to some kind of immorality. And can it live up to another person's expectations of them and their morality? Not everyone sees things the same. Doesn't justify wrong thinking. It's a reason why some think that way. Need to return to biblical marriages. Don't be afraid to tell your boy he's a boy. Don't be afraid to tell your girl she's a girl. Don't be afraid to tell them God's plan is for one boy and one girl, one man, one woman for life. That's how God designed us. And if we get off of that path of thinking the way God designed us to think, it will cause destruction in society. And look at our society today. Over 3% wanting people to think the way they want to think. Look where that's led us in the last couple years. I mean, a fast road away from God. But you're mostly too afraid to even stand on those biblical principles. I'm not judging somebody else. That's up for God. But I'm going to send out the posts. I'm going to preach the message. I'm going to reveal what is right to think according to the Bible, what's right to think according to an almighty God, what's right to think. Amen. Now we raise our children. And can I tell you, they are our children. They're not the government's children. Even in the day that we're living in, the fear of China invasion, the fear of nuclear war, is not enough to keep the United States from turning back to God. The northern tribes of Israel were, they were paying tribute to China, not really China, but Assyria. They were paying tribute because they didn't want to get on the bad side of China, and so they're willing to do whatever to suppress them, and we'll give you tribute, we'll do whatever, and just don't invade us. Because God's not with us. And without God with us, we can't win the wars that we used to win. So instead of cowering down to Assyria, why don't you get back to doing things the way God wants you to do things so you can have the blessings and the protection of God upon your life?
That's right.
And they heard what God wanted them to do. They heard Hezekiah sent them. He sent the posts. They laughed him to scorn. And you're going to have people that's going to laugh at you saying, you can't really believe that. You don't really believe that that teenager is going to abstain. You better get into the 21st century here. Instead of trying to keep them abstaining, you better just start trying to help them to do it the way we think they ought to do it. Be raised the way we think they ought to be raised. Live the way we think they ought to be raised. No! Because I'll give an account to God one day, and my child will give an account to God one day, and I want to make sure that we give an account according to the right thinking. I'd rather go into captivity than go back to traditional worship, biblical worship. You know what's happened, even as we look back over the church? Andy mentioned it Sunday night. Let's take a survey. Let's go into an area, take a survey. What do you want in a church? Well, I know what we'll do. We'll give you your choice. We'll have a 10 a.m. traditional, if you think you want a traditional. But then we'll have an 11 a.m. whatever you want. Did that not change so many churches in this state that you know of? Well, the older people, we don't want to just kick them out, although we had a couple that did do that. They told them, we're not changing, we're not going back the way it was, so you better leave and find a church that you want to go to, because this church is not going back to contemporary or traditional services. We have changed. We are not our mothers and fathers' churches. We have this contemporary, and this is the way we're going, and so if you don't like it, leave. I know of at least two churches in Indianapolis, in Greenwood, that did that. Mega churches, one anyway. So it doesn't matter that we built this church on your tithe and your help, but it's changed now. We're not going back. This is where we're going. If you don't like it, leave. I told God the same thing. So do you want a contemporary, or do you want a traditional, or you just want to stay home and live stream it all? I hate that. Because once you start live streaming, you can't stop. But come on. It is not designed to take the place of the assembling of ourselves together. It's not designed to take the place of biblical church. Amen. And I know some of you, I know you're right now kind of wondering what I'm doing right here. Some of you, it's all right. Go ahead. I mean, you're sick. You're laid up. Praise the Lord. Our missionaries, they are all around. I got home Sunday, and in Peru, they're having elections. They couldn't go out. And Marco sent me, and he was commenting on the message. He said, hey, preacher, I'm looking for that billionaire. I said, you missed the point, Marcos. But thing was, he was right here with us in Peru. He was able to be a part of our services and then sharing with me some of the feedback afterwards of his family, how they were blessed by it. And I'm thinking, we can't stop it. But don't abuse it. Nothing can take the place of bringing your family to church and hearing the word of God preached the way that God wants it to be preached. We're going to put out the posts. Whether people laugh at it and mock it, we're going to continue to put out the post. I heard somebody say, the mailman delivers his letters regardless of content. We have God's message that needs to be presented. Get it out there. All right, we've got a few more minutes here. There's a second response. Did you get that? Go back to chapter 30, verse 11. A second response. Nevertheless, divers of Asher and Manasseh, Zebulun, this is the key, humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Divers, some from these tribes, some that you might not think would come, would might not want to have right thinking, but would change to right thinking because they humbled themselves. What would lead someone to humble themselves, to turn from wrong thinking to right thinking? Now, it takes humility to obey according to spirituality. That's if you didn't get that, let me give you that again. It takes humility to obey according to spirituality. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit who revealed God's will. Anybody, if they are truly open to God and they are diligently seeking after Him, God is the rewarder of all those who diligently seek Him, and you're seeking after God, I want right thinking. I want to make sure that I'm doing this the way that you would have me to do this, because I don't want to live my life without your blessings. I don't want to live my life without your presence. God, help me to be convicted and to humble myself, to turn to your thoughts and not my thoughts. And there were some that did that. From these different, there were some in these tribes that did just that. I believe there's some in this auditorium that's done just that. You sought out a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. You sought out an influence, not for just you, but for your family, for your children, that we might get back to right thinking. Proverbs, let me read to you just a couple of Proverbs here, because it reveals what we just said, but Proverbs chapter 15, write this down, read it afterward, but Proverbs 15 verse 32 says this: he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, especially if that instruction is from the Lord. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord. Realize I believe in God. The fear of the Lord. I know that God exists. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor is humility. You got to realize, if you have wrong thinking, humble yourself to admit it and turn to God for the right thinking. Verse 16. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before all. I'm right. I'm going to live the way I think. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I'm going to live. I'm going to raise my children. I'm going to determine morality based on what I want morality to be. And pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. We'll be looking at that next week. Because you have the faithful Judah, and they were filled with joy when they turned back to God's way of thinking. If I could have every head bowed tonight. how can you not relate to what we're going through as a Christian nation, to what Israel and Judah were going through, facing Assyrian captivity, and someone that God put into their lives to help them, whose name was Hezekiah. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for what we've learned and what we've studied here in this book of 2 Chronicles as we study the life of Hezekiah and how powerful the study it is and how needful today and what we are facing in our own country, own city, our states. God, many times people ask, what can I do? And what a difference can I make? But that's how we know you would have us to live. First and foremost, doing everything we can do individually and making it available to all that we can. Send the post out so that all might know what you would have us to do, how to return to the blessings of our God. Work now and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.